Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
The message today is going to come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I would like to read what will be our text, and that's the first 11 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do." The Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians about the day that our Lord comes back. Our Lord is going to return. And the apostle told them in chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." He said it is going to happen. It is going to happen. But when it's going to happen, he said in chapter 5, verse 1, "Of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." You have no need. Number one, he's saying that is not needful information. The Lord is coming back. But when he comes back exactly, that is not needful information. There is one thing needful. There is only one thing needful. We need to know him. We need to know him. Paul told the Philippians that I might know him. He said, that's it. That's all that matters. That I might know him. Not days. Paul didn't say, oh, that I might know days. Not days, weeks, months, times, events. People are so enamored with that. Men write books and write books and write books, and people buy them and they spend their hard-earned money. And it's irrelevant. It is irrelevant. It is not needful information. There is one thing that we need to know. Him. Him, not about him, him. We must know him. Paul told the Corinthians, "I have determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Period. That's it. That's all I've determined to know among you. Paul knew many things. He was educated in many things. He had a lot of religious education. He threw it all out. He said, it's dung. It's irrelevant. I've determined, he said, to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When He comes back is not an issue of our eternal salvation. It is not an issue. Our only concern is that He is coming back. That's our only concern. That He is coming back and that we know Him and are found in Him when He does. That's all of our concern. We need to know Him and we need to be in Him. We need to be found in Him. So first, Paul is saying, you have no spiritual need that I write unto you of the times and the seasons when He will come back. There is no profitable need. But secondly, he's saying, there's no need for me to write of it because that information is not given to us. No man knows that information. Men make predictions and then they don't come to pass. Proving that man had no idea. And then he'll make another prediction and it doesn't come to pass. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, our Lord, as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. In verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And verse 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven. He said, my Father only. No prophet knew it. No prophet knew it. Men get into the Old Testament prophets and they're trying to do the math. No prophet knew it. The apostles did not know it. The apostle Paul couldn't write it because he did not know it. He said, the angels in heaven do not know it. They are going about their business, serving His will, knowing that He will come back. He said He would, but they don't know when. So it is a waste of our time. It is an absolute waste of time to try to get a calculator out and start adding up days and weeks and years. That day is reserved in the mind and the heart of God alone. God's people are not looking to a day. They're looking to a person. They're looking to a person. Now, with that being said, if you're turning in your Bible with me, you may want to hold your place in Matthew. We're going to come right back. But in our text, in 1 Thessalonians 5, there are some things that our Lord has revealed to us about the day that He returns. Verse 1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." It's coming as a thief in the night, meaning quickly, with no warning. A thief doesn't make a big announcement, "I'm about to come and break into your house." Quickly, with no warning. All right, back in Matthew 24, it says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." An old Englishman walked out of his house one morning and saw his neighbor, and he said, "Good fellow, do you think the Lord will come back today?" And his neighbor said, "I think not." Now, let me ask you this question. I'll ask myself and you also. Do you think He's coming back today? Do you think today is the day? Most every person on this earth thinks not. Our Lord said in verse 44, "Be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." He is coming. Back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In verse 1, He said, "ye." In verse 2, He said, "yourselves." In verse 3, He said, "they." And He said, "them." He's talking about two different groups of people. Those who are in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are out of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For them, those who are not under the blood, He said that day is going to be sudden destruction. I mean sudden destruction. They are going to say and they are going to believe that they are in peace and safety. But He said sudden destruction is coming to them. And He said they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Our Lord described the destruction in Isaiah 13. And we're not going to turn over there right now, but it is difficult to read. If you have time to read it, you may want to look at it. It is very, very difficult to read. It is terrible, terrible destruction. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it's just across my page. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This is the God of the Bible. I am not trying to scare anyone, but I'm trying to be honest, and I'm trying to be truthful with all of us. This is the God of all heaven and earth. This is the true and living God. This is the God of eternity. This is the God with whom we have to do. This is the God we're going to stand before. This is the God we're going to stand before, and man has no idea. He has no idea. He's just so proud of himself and how he's lived and everything he's done, and he's ready to just run right up to the throne of God and go stand before him. This is the God we're going to have to stand before. This God, though, is not being preached today. Men are not standing up in pulpits and being honest with people and telling them, this is the God that you're going to have to deal with and I'm going to have to deal with. There is no fear of God before the world's eyes. Men are not afraid of God. They don't fear what's coming. There's no fear. And the reason is because this God is not being declared today. He's not being honestly, truthfully preached. But this is the God that we're going to have to deal with. And our dealings with him are either going to be had in Christ or out of Christ. Same God. He's either going to deal with us in the blood of Christ, in the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ, or out of Christ, without his substitution, without his blood. Every soul outside of Christ is going to experience sudden destruction. Let me just be truthful, because this is coming. Every soul who is outside of Christ is going to experience sudden destruction. But for every soul who is in Christ, for every soul who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to look with me at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For every soul in Christ, it is going to be sudden redemption. Outside of Christ, sudden destruction. In the Lord Jesus Christ, sudden redemption. Does that at all give you a heart to be in Christ? Does that at all make you want to say, dear God, put me in Christ. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need his blood. I need his righteousness. I need him. I don't need facts about him. I need him. I need him. Back in our text, back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He's saying to God's people, that day is not going to come as a shock to you. You're expecting it. You believe his word. You believe what he said. You are expecting it. He's coming. A woman with child, that's the illustration he's given here. A woman with child does not know when the travail is going to come. She does not know the day or the hour, but she knows it's coming. She's expecting it to come, and when it does come, she's not going to be utterly shocked, saying, "What in the world is happening to me?" She's not going to say that. He said, "You are not in darkness," meaning ignorance, and also meaning sin. He said, "That day is not going to overtake you." If God has revealed Christ to you and pointed you to Him, shown you and shown me that He's it, He's all. If God has given faith to us and hope in His blood, then He said in verse 5, "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." He said, you've been given the light and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's revealed these things. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's talking about the adversary, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If Christ dwells in us, light dwells in us. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." What are we watching for? Him. We're watching for Him. Let's watch. Let's be watchful and be sober, meaning serious. Serious. Oh, we don't gather together in worship before Him in a flippant way, in a silly way, in a casual way. There's nothing casual about this. Oh, let's be serious. Lord, please let us be serious about these things. Serious about watching and waiting and worshiping You. Give us a clear mind fixed on You. You. Only You. Verse 7, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." The breastplate covers the heart, and the helmet covers the head. He said, let's be sober, watchful, with faith and love in our heart for Christ, and with the confidence of hope that He has given us, let's look for Him to come and save us. He is coming back. He's coming back, and He said for all of His sheep, He's going to pull them out of this cesspool, this miry clay, and He's going to set us free. Oh, let's watch those who have been given light to see these things. Verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God has appointed us. If we belong to Him, if He has given us faith in Christ, then He has appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's elect, those who were appointed by God to obtain salvation, God's chosen people, they were all saved in the mind and the will and the purpose of God before the foundation of the world. They were all saved in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. God's people are all saved when that gift of faith that He's talking about, that light comes and that faith comes, that watching, that soberness. They're all saved when that faith that comes from God's Spirit to a sinner giving life. and God's people are going to finally be saved when they obtain the fullness of their salvation on the day He comes back. He's going to come back and gather them to Himself. So we have been saved, we're being saved, and we're about to be saved. And that's wonderful. Our Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back to gather His purchased possession. He is coming to gather all of His purchased possession to Himself for an eternal deliverance. That's what Ephesians 1 verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He is coming back on that particular day that God knows. He is coming back to redeem His purchased possession. He's coming back to get what He paid for. Every soul that He paid for. And in our text, it goes on to say, verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Whether we are of those who are still on this earth when He returns, or whether this body of death is going to lay down and He will raise us from the grave, He is going to gather every soul that He redeemed. Every single soul. And if He's given us a heart for Christ, if He's given us eyes to see that He is our only hope, His blood is our only hope, if we need Him and must have Him, then we are one of His chosen people. We're one of the saved, and He's coming back for us. Come quickly, we cry. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.